Well, if we go back to the Ten Commandments into Exodus chapter 20, pick up our next commandment. I'm moving on. Three services looking at the Sabbath day, remembering the Sabbath. And wouldn't you know it, I just got all kinds of more information and material on the Lord's Day, on the Sabbath day this past week. Oh, I wish I'd have had it before. I'm going to move on, though. Not that I want to, because this one here is a tough one for me. Some of you don't find anything but a few words on the page, and that's good. That's fine. But it's a little bit difficult looking through my lenses tonight. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12. Before we read it, I would invite you to bow your head with me for a moment of prayer. Father, you've stood the test of time. Your word has stood the test of time. Critics have tried to discredit, destroy, but you've always come through. Your word is sure. Your word stands forever. When we don't know how to explain it, when we don't know how to talk about it, it doesn't diminish the value, it doesn't diminish the importance, it doesn't diminish in any way what it's saying to us in our lives. I pray for your divine touch tonight, for your special anointing, in preaching as well as hearing. May your voice be heard this evening. In Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake, in your glory, amen. The first four commandments are basically man's relationship with God, God's relationship with man. That's what we would consider as the first division of the commandments. Now, in verse number 12, we are entering into the second and final division. And this one is, the second part of the commandments is interpersonal relationships. Man's relationship with man. People with people. And God begins this particular section of personal, interpersonal relationships with what could be looked at and realized as going to the very foundation, the very heart. As God focuses here on the institution of the home. The institution of the home. It's been said a number of times, and it needs to keep being said. As the home goes, so goes the nation, so goes the community, so goes the church. If you haven't heard that before, mark it in your mind that you heard it tonight. And keep it in your mind. As the home goes, so goes the nation. As the home goes, so goes the church. As the home and the church go, so goes the community. When we look at the rest of them, we look at those other commandments that are coming up here, they are all valuable, they are all valid, they are all important, just any word like that you want to use as an adjective in describing it, it's all there. But I don't know, it just seems to be that he starts this second part, this second division of the commandments with the very foundation that is so vital. You say, well, what is it? Well, let's look at it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It's not a thou shalt not. It's not a thou shalt, although it's a silent thou shalt. It's still there, it's just not seen. He just simply, blatantly, boldly, succinctly says, honor thy father and thy mother. I could spend some time this evening talking about the tragedies of the home, because we find it in our culture today that the tragedy of the home is everywhere, ever present, all around us. And if you came from a home that was without tragedy within the home, you are an extra blessed person. There's dysfunction on every hand. So often there's dysfunction. And when a person finds themselves in dysfunction, it's easy at that point to begin diverting away from Scripture and even justify it with Scripture. So how can that be? It's very simple. Do you remember the time when Satan met with Jesus in the wilderness? What did the devil do to Jesus? What did he say to him? He used Scripture, trying to get Jesus, an effort to get Jesus diverted from, and in his mind and in his attention, diverted from what was true, what was real, what was purpose in his life. I'm reminded of the passage that tells me that the enemy of our soul, the one that wants to kill, steal, and destroy, sometimes he's transformed into an angel of light. I don't know about you, but it seems to me like that's telling me that it's not just simply a simple deception where, oh, wow, that's a roaring lion. I can run away from that and I can stay away. No, no, no. Sometimes he uses Scripture to prove his point. Now understand that that Scripture is twisted, it's warped, but he does. And you and I find it over and over again. And when we find ourselves, when families, when the home finds itself in such deep dysfunction, it's easy from the hand and the voice of the enemy to begin to rationalize and to change and to turn things around. Convincing people that it is okay to turn away from Scripture to do something else. The home is vital. The home is necessary. The home is most important thing. The function, the institution of the home, God ordained, God established in the Garden of Eden. God continues to follow it through the entirety of Scripture. You find it over and over again about the need and the necessity in the home in Proverbs. There's so much truth in the proverb book, in the Proverbs that teach us about the function of the home. You find it in the New Testament, the important details of Paul's writings to different peoples, the importance of the structure and the value of the home. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now, somebody said that this one very well could be a stumbling block for people in our culture today. Not just in the culture around us. Sometimes it's a stumbling block in the culture of our own churches. Broad spectrum. Sometimes it's a stumbling block because the enemy has tripped up an individual to get them convinced that what their parents did was harmful to them. Now, I've told you a number of times that my dad, I got more whippings than I deserved. The last whipping I got, and I did not deserve it, I was 17 years old, 2 weeks before leaving home to go to college, to go work at the college. I did not deserve that whipping. And I can grumble about that. I can become bitter about that. I can become hard. Now, you might think that I am hard, but I'm really not. I'm just using it as an emphasis. Because the point is, if Dad was not had not been, if Dad had not been hard with me, maybe I would not have turned out even half as good. I know, maybe you're saying, well, buddy, you're struggling just a bit here. But you see, all of those bumps, all of those, don't call them bumps. Let's just call them beatings. Yeah, sometimes he drew blood on the learning seat, you know, the seat of learning. It wasn't that he hit me all over the place and drew blood all over. No, it was all directed on the seat of learning. But you see, all of that stuff made me, by God's help, by the grace of God, it made me what I am. But it's so easy for us today. Boy, I'm getting really sidetracked. None of that's in my notes. It's so easy for us to get sidetracked and say, you were too hard on me, Pops. You were too hard on me, Mom. You whipped me too many times. You beat me too many times. Well, it's all the bumps and the bruises as well as the good things develop us into what we are if we allow God to do that for us. Oh, I wish that there's a number of things. There's a number of things in my memory that I wish that I could erase that have been barriers in relationship with my dad. You all don't have a clue. I mean, really, I'm not going to tell you either. Ken White's known my dad, or he's been acquainted with my dad a long time, just all the way back. I mean, what's it been, 70 or 80 years now, brother? You were a teenager, though, weren't you? Teenager when you first met Dad. And Bonnie Montgomery sat under my dad in college. I don't want to say anything in particular to degrade the respect that Ken or somebody else has for my dad. I don't think that some of my siblings know some of the things of the conversations that we've had. There's no need to. I don't need to. But there are some points that are valid points that have caused division problems that we've tried to work through. We had tried to settle up. You know, sometimes it's hard to do that. But, you know, it doesn't matter what my experience is. It does not matter anything about what takes place in my life. I find it here in the passage that I've read. Honor thy father and thy mother. What does the word honor mean? It means to show respect for, esteem and regard, behavior intended to please your parents. Did you hear me say that sometimes this fifth commandment can be one that is very well becomes a stumbling block for people? In this fifth commandment, God lays down a principle for life that will determine how every relationship around you will turn out. You see, the home is the foundational institution of society. No nation or community of people is stronger than the family structure that makes them up. Did I say this once? As goes the home, so goes the nation. God has established in the home, he has established an order that is to be followed. The husband, the father, is to be the head of the home, submitting himself to the will of the heavenly Father. That is an important structure, an important part. When a father says, well, God says that I'm the head, but then he refuses to submit to the heavenly Father, there's a problem there. But that problem, when that problem exists, that still doesn't give me the right to say, Dad, you're out of here, bud. Or to disrespect him in any way. The wife is to be in subjection to her husband, not as a doormat, but as a helpmeet. The children are to submit themselves to their parents, and in doing so, they will be blessed of the Lord. And if that order is followed, then the home is blessed. And it will be a blessing to those that are involved with that home. There's some dysfunction in homes today because parents haven't taught their children to submit early enough. This isn't necessarily, it doesn't need to be a sermon on parenting, but it's a vital part of this passage, the vital part of developing that honor and respect. Because when a child isn't brought into subjection to the father in the home or the mother in the home, then it's easy to ignore this fifth commandment. We brush it off. We cast it aside. We push it away. The command is still there. Honor thy father and thy mother. And it might take some serious heart searching for me. And I'll let you decide it for yourself. But it takes a very serious effort. It takes a very serious, intentional effort for some not to be so bitter against their parents. Now, if I'm not talking to you tonight, that's fine. That's wonderful. But understand that there are some that struggle with this. I mentioned it just a little bit ago. All of the damage, all of the brokenness, all of the dysfunction of anybody's life, God can use to develop and to make. If we give him all of our broken pieces, he makes something out of it. I look at things today because of that. My dad embarrassed me. Should I go into that tonight? My dad embarrassed me in front of, I don't know, hundreds of people one time. I could get bitter about that. It's not valid, but I could get bitter about it. It was pretty stupid. It was really wrong of me to do what I did, but instead of looking at what I did, it would be easy for me to look at what he did. Because not only did he embarrass me, I embarrassed him too. Before he embarrassed me. He didn't embarrass me intentionally, but I knew that what I was doing was going to embarrass him if he found out, and he did. How did he find out? Well, it's weird how God talks to people sometimes. Because nobody, he didn't have a cell phone. Nobody called him from a cell phone. He was sitting in his chair doing what he did best with his eyes closed, studying the inside of his lids. And God said, John is out there doing something that you don't approve of. And here is where he is, and he He came right in. He knew right where I was. But instead of focusing on what I did wrong, I could focus on what he did wrong and embarrassing me. You see, it all comes to play when I give it to God. Let me quickly move on here. Number one, there's a respect that is demanded. A respect that is demanded. It's an elevation to recognize. This verse makes it plain that our parents are to be held in high regard by their children. Honor thy father and thy mother. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 picks up those words. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. Thou mayest live long. Honor, give great weight to, hold as valuable. Our parents have been placed in our lives by the sovereignty of God. Now, there were some things that I didn't ask my dad for counsel on. But if he gave me counsel, I listened to it. I didn't always agree with it, but I'd listen to it. When my dad told me something that involved with the family, I obeyed his command. Why? Because that's his position. I honored him in his position. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20, children, obey your parents in the Lord, or in all things, in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. It's discouraging and even frightening when we see a child or a young person today disrespectful to their parents. It spells a lot of trouble down the road, doesn't it? We all know that. We see that. You don't have to go very, very far into Walmart and you find that pretty common. Number two, not only is there respect that is to be demanded, or that is demanded, but also there's an esteem to render. You see, as we grow older, we continue to regard our parents with that great respect. And as children grow up, it's natural for them to leave their parents' home, as is given to us in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they too become one. They shall be one flesh. And while these children are no longer under the direct authority of their parents, they're not telling me or telling you what to do on a day-to-day basis. There's still a regard for them. Jesus gave us a great example when he was 12 years old. It tells us that he submitted himself to his parents. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. That's a good example. Kids, are you listening? Jesus was a good example. He went down with them and was subject unto them. He obeyed. And even when he was a dying man, he looked at his mom and said to his friend, John, take care of my mom for me. He was looking out for her even when he was dying. You see, there was something about Jesus' relationship with his mom and dad, his earthly parents. Third thing is, there's an experience to regard. You see, as I've grown older, my dad looked through his lens in dealing with me. And while I say, and I've said, and I'll probably continue to say, that Dad whooped me more than I deserved, if he were here tonight, he would say, there was some that you didn't get that you did deserve. But Dad was looking through his lens. And his lens may have had a few smudges, even as my lens has had a few smudges. Yeah, we could go broad there. But they are speaking, they are working with us through their own experience, and they are working with us through their own hard knocks. And while we may not understand, and while we may not grasp, and sometimes it's offensive, and sometimes it's hurtful, sometimes it's painful, for the most part, parents are probably just trying to do their best with what they have. And sometimes they get it wrong. Sometimes I've gotten it wrong. I know that I've gotten it wrong. Now, as we get older, a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times as we get older, we realize that, Mom and Dad knew a lot more than I gave them credit for back in the day. Like Mark Twain is said to have said, when I was 14 years old, my father was so ignorant I hated to have the old man around. But when I was 21 years old, I was astonished to see how much my father had learned in only 7 years. There is a respect that is deserved. Children will have a difficult time respecting a parent who hasn't lived a life worthy of honor. Let's talk to you parents this evening. Let me give you three reasons or three things how a parent can earn the respect of their children, to make it easy for them to honor their mom and dad. Number one, by your faithfulness. Faithfulness in that children will respect a life that is lived faithfully. You see, children see their parents living and realize that parents have their best interest at heart or not. Children can see that. They can know that. When a child really knows that mom and dad really care about what happens to them, they respond to that in a display of love. You see, it's not just a desire to control children, but it's a desire to shield them as well. Now, in the midst of faithfulness, we also have to remember that it's very, very important that our faithfulness to the Lord is first and foremost in our faithfulness in our family. Faithfulness to the Lord. When we live as though the Lord, His work, His worship, His house are optional, then our children are going to come to believe that as well. We have to be faithful to the Lord in order for us to be faithful, truly faithful to our children. We can't expect our kids to just step up. My wife says things to me sometimes that maybe she just needs to leave unsaid, but sometimes she'll say, what do people say to their kids when they just skip church for whatever small reason? How do they explain that to their kids? Hun, I don't know. I guess that what we do as parents speaks louder than what our words say. Our kids hear our actions louder than what we're saying to them. We are also not only so supposed to be faithful, but we are supposed to be fair. we earn the respect of our kids by being fair. Can you imagine growing up in the shoes of Joseph? That was unfair. Joseph was daddy's favorite boy. But because of the blatant favoritism in that home, it created horrible problems, didn't it? Carson was presented with the thought, the possibility that one day, perhaps, maybe, he won't be Pappy's favorite grandson. Because right now he is. He wasn't real sure about how that was going to pan out, how that was going to work. And so I told him, I said, "You'll always be my favorite oldest grandson, even if another grandson comes along." Well, he was happy with that. He was okay with that. All my grandkids are my favorites. Something about them is my favorite. But it better not be the point that one of them becomes my favorite to the detriment of everybody else. Jacob, Joseph, fair, favorite, created a lot of problems, and you and I both know that. We all know that. Our faithfulness, our fairness, but also by our fruitfulness. Our fruitfulness? Well, you see, parents can earn respect from their children when they can see that their parents are investing in their lives. When they see that their parents are investing in their lives. When we give them love, when we give them time and patience and encouragement and hope and teaching moments, they respond with respect and love of their own when we give them that. What would you do, parents? What would you do? What would you think if your kids came home from having breakfast with the preacher and your kids say, "Well, he sat there on his phone the whole time"? I hope none of your kids even have a thought about that with me. I hope that they know that phone is laid aside or put away so that I can look into their... Now, I may have to respond to a text, but minimal amount of times, I believe, while I'm with children. And that goes for all of us as parents. It's not just so much that we have them with us or that they have us with them, but that we are focused on them. We are giving them the attention that they need. Wow. Look at the time. The first commandment with promise really gives us a little bit of pause here to figure some things out, and I don't have time to spend on it, but you understand here that when a person obeys the scripture, there's blessing. When a person rejects the scripture, there's problems. The eye that mocketh his father despiseth to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. That's in the Proverbs. See, so we see it on both sides. Obedience to the scriptures, there's blessing. Disobedience to the scriptures, there's a problem. And while some people may not understand how we honor. Because God said, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Let's stand together this evening. I don't know what time I started, but I promise you I skipped a lot. Promise you I did. God help me. God help us to be obedient to the word of God and his commands to us. Amen. Jonathan, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight?